Welcome to radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to firehouse.com.
Welcome to the Leaders Toolbox on radio at firehouse.com. My name is Peter Matthews, and we're here today with host Richard Gassaway, fire chief in Roseville, Minnesota. Good afternoon, Rich. I know we wrapped up with FDIC recently, and the summer's coming up. A bunch of teaching opportunities are coming around the bend for you. What do you have going on? What do you have coming up in the next couple months?
Well, Pete, the next, I think, most significant opportunity is going to be Firehouse Expo, which Firehouse hosts, and it'll be in Baltimore, July 22 to 26. And I'll have an opportunity to do three programs at the expo. Two of them are going to be panel events that are going to be turned into podcasts that will be available to listeners on firehouse.com. One will be a volunteers chiefs panel. One will be a fire department management panel. And then I will be doing a classroom program on fireground situation awareness called 50 Ways to Kill Your Brother, which is a program based on my doctoral research on fireground command, decision-making under stress, and the barriers that impact situation awareness on the fireground. So if you're interested and able to attend Firehouse Expo July 22 to 26, go to firehouse.com and click on events and find out information about the expo.
All right, cool. And if you do have any questions for Rich for this show, or if you have questions that we could have during the two podcasts at Firehouse Expo, please drop us an email to podcast@firehouse.com. If you have any questions on leadership and management issues, fireground leadership issues, just send questions in and we'll get to them as soon as we can. Rich, I know we have a guest today. Can you introduce the guest and tell us a little bit about him?
Yep. Thanks, Pete. It's a real pleasure for me to have on the guest as on the show today, Doug Klein, who's the fire chief in Eden, North Carolina. I've known Doug for a number of years, and our paths have crossed a number of times at different conferences and different meetings around the country. And I ran into Doug at FDIC, and we got to talking and decided it might be a good idea to have Doug do a podcast for us. Doug's, in addition to being the fire chief in Eden, he's the first vice president of the International Society of Fire Service Instructors, and he's the author of the Company Officer Test Preparation Guide, which was published in 2006 by Delmar Publications. And Doug brings to the podcast today 28 years of experience in the fire service, so certainly has been around the block, and I know he's worked for a couple of different fire departments and brings a nice perspective. So I'm real excited to be able to have Doug as a guest and to tee up a couple of our leadership questions today. So without any delay, Pete, why don't you throw out the first question there, and we'll get Doug going.
All right. Well, welcome, Doug. Thanks for joining us. The first question I have for you is I'm a newly promoted company officer to the rank of lieutenant. I have some officers training, but it has been limited to basic programs. I would like to know what it takes and what avenues I need to excel as a company officer within the department.
Well, Pete, thank you and Rich both for the opportunity to be on today, and that's probably a question that a majority of new officers or people that are seeking promotion to the company officer level probably have in their minds, and I appreciate that being sent in. For folks that get started, a lot of times there's some real basic programs that you see out there, and departments start out and states start out with, you know, just some very basic, okay, you want to be an officer. This is just a couple of things that we throw out there to you. But it goes a lot deeper than that. I've been in, like I said, the fire service 28 years. A large majority of that has been at an officer level, and a significant number of years as a company officer. And I found myself with that same exact question, what do you do? you know, fortunately, there's a ton of stuff that's out there right now. And our first stop for people ought to be at your local or state resource. Most of our states have a company officer or a fire officer one program that's meeting the NFPA 1021 standard. And that's a good start. That's where you need to find some of the roots to what it is being an officer. And there's much more than what most people think. They think that you get a promotion, you get a white shirt, you get a yellow helmet or a red helmet, and you get a bugle or two bugles, and it's just cool to be riding on that right side. Well, there's a lot more that goes with that. So when you get into exploring this education, you really got to dig deep into it. And it's not just one class or two class. It's a continuous learning process. And going to seminars like Firehouse and listening to folks like Rich and people that are coming in talking about what it's like to be an officer and what mistakes have been made out there is imperative. These are real-life learning experiences that people have walked the walk on, and they've seen the mistakes, and they're sharing them. And that's, you know, admirable when people step up to the plate and say, here's some of the things that have occurred, and this is what we've learned from it. A second stop for this young officer is the National Fire Academy. There's probably not a better education institution out there for the fire service, especially an officer level. Some of the best classes, and probably the first one that I would recommend to anyone, is going through organizational theory. Org theory at the Fire Academy is 2 weeks, and when these guys walk in, they're in for just, you know, one of the hardest classes they're probably going to see. But when they walk out, they can really understand what it takes to make an organization tick. They understand the people. They understand the thought process, how to motivate them, you know, looking at the leadership styles that they have to embark on to motivate these, you know, crew members to get them efficient. You know, that is really key. And then they have to learn a lot of communication skills and interpersonal dynamics, you know, how you relate with people. The National Fire Academy goes far beyond that. They have a lot of command classes. They have a lot of tactical classes. It used to be the Managing Company Tactical Operations Series, the Leadership Series that's delivered at the state level and the state weekend schools. You got STICCO and PICCO now, which is really replacing the MCTO-type series. And just, you know, incident safety officer programs, those are the types of things that these people, you know, that want to be officers or just newly promoted have to find in those basic programs. And the last part of that question they talk about, I would like to know what it takes, you know, to get or excel as a company officer. One of the things that I have found is really understanding your role. If folks watch wrestling, everybody knows who The Rock is. And, you know, one of his first things is he says, you got to know your role. And the role of the company officer is they are the first line supervisor. This is the biggest step that any officer or any person takes in, you know, stepping up to the plate, because you now accept responsibility for others, not just yourself, but others, and how they perform, their safety, responding to emergencies and non-emergencies, and having to lead them. And leading means developing them, getting your company to be efficient and effective in how they do operations, getting them trained to every type of response that you may have to respond to, and making the best out of them, developing these individuals' capabilities. A lot of times that's where company officers fall short, and that's where other officers have fallen short, is by not developing their capabilities and fostering a good mentor program to them. So there's a lot of things that, you know, we can start with education on this, and we can move to a ton of other areas. And just to answer this person's question, we could probably spend 2 hours. What's your thoughts, Rich, at this point?
Well, I think you said a couple things, Doug, that were really pertinent. One is it's continuous learning. You know, there isn't any single class or series of two or three classes you can take and say, okay, I'm fully qualified, capable, ready to be a company officer. It's continuous learning over a long period of time, and you can start that from the time you enter the fire service in preparing yourself to be a company officer. One of the things that disappoints me the most is to see and hear situations where somebody has spent 5 or 7 years as a firefighter, and then all of a sudden the posting gets put up for an opening. Maybe somebody retired unexpectedly, and it's led to a series of promotions, and all of a sudden now there's a company officer position that's open, and a firefighter applies for it and then gets angry or frustrated when they're not selected, but yet has done nothing to prepare themselves to be a company officer, almost feeling a sense of entitlement or feeling as though, well, I've been a good firefighter for 7 years, so I'm qualified now to be promoted to a company officer. Well, being a company officer is a lot more to it than being just the best firefighter among your group. There's a lot of leadership, as you said, Doug, leadership and communications and interpersonal dynamics that go along with it. And it's very frustrating to see these people who think that because they've put in their time, that qualifies them. And it doesn't. And when they don't get selected, they get frustrated and angry, and they make all kinds of accusations about the, they were choosing favorites, or this person wasn't the favorite. So a little word of caution about that. Another thing you said, Doug, that I think is really important is having a mentor, having somebody that you can turn to that can teach you and demonstrate for you what good leadership looks like. I think that's another thing that's frustrating is organizations who the people that the firefighters look up to aren't necessarily the best role models for consistent and predictable supervision and leadership. And then when they sit before a panel to get selected, they don't have a skill set developed because they haven't had a good role model. So I would say seek out a good role model either in your department or even outside the fire service, just somebody that you can get connected to that is a good role model for supervision, leadership, communications, interpersonal dynamics. I would say I would encourage people to read about leaders outside the fire service. Pick up a biography of somebody who's been a good leader in their industry and read about how they did it. How were they successful? Watch biography on television if you don't like to read, and read about or listen to the qualities of good leaders and how they led their organizations, or if they were battle commanders, how they led their troops to be successful. But I think you got to get connected to somebody who can demonstrate for you what good qualities look like, and then seek out to emulate those. Another thing, Doug, you had talked about the NFPA 1021 fire officer qualifications. I'd like the listeners to also know that out there by the International Association of Fire Chiefs is a handbook called the Fire Officers Development Handbook, and you can get that on the IFC website. And you might even be able to download it for free, and then if you want to have a hard copy, I think it might cost, $10 or something like that to have a hard copy. And Pete can post a link to the IFC's website for where that handbook is available. But basically what it is it's an outline for officer development. If you want to be a first-level officer, these are the kind of classes and the things that you should do. It doesn't necessarily tell you where to go get them, whether it's the National Fire Academy or the state training center or at a local community college, but it lays out the kind of classes that you should have to be a first-line supervisor, and all the way up to and including a chief officer. So it's all levels of officer development. Another thing I'd like to add to what Doug said was, if you're interested in being an officer and you're not yet, ask the chief of the department what kind of things you could and should be doing to prepare yourself for that opportunity when it comes about. And don't wait for 30 days before somebody's going to retire and then go ask the chief, well, what should I do in the next 30 days to prepare myself to be an officer? I'd say right there you failed the first step of the interview, lack of preparation. go to the chief and ask him, a year or two in advance of when that opportunity might come about to say, what could I be doing? What are the kind of classes you'd recommend that I could take, or things that I could do to develop myself, or projects that I could take on and show some leadership to the organization so that you're developing well in advance? And then I would look to the other officers of the department and see what kind of qualifications they have. Look at the job description for an officer in the department. Look for at the job description of the job you next most want to have and see what it says is required so that there's no surprise for you when the time comes. You've already seen it. You already know what's required, and you've already taken the steps to prepare yourself so that when the time comes, when that thumbtack goes through that announcement up on the bulletin board, you can put two thumbs way up and a big smile across your face and say, I'm ready, because I've spent a couple years preparing myself.
I couldn't agree more, Rich. I think that company officers are probably the vital missing link when we put quality as the emphasis on it. You know, how our departments run and where the rubber really meets the road, because these people have so many roles. They're a coach. They're a counselor. They're a critical decision maker on the streets. You know, battles are won in the initial setup phases and decision making on emergency scenes. You know, they have to be a good firefighter. They have to be a friend in that station in some senses. In today's society, they got to be real innovative of how to make things happen with little, you know, to no money as budgets are shrinking. Probably one of the biggest pieces, and I've talked about this at Firehouse, and one of the programs I did there is, you know, the fire officer is the true instructor of the fire service. They're the ones that spend the most time educating that company and teaching them the things that, you know, are really critical. And they are the true educators of the fire service. And then they've got to motivate people. We talked about that type of stuff, and you're right on target. Most folks, and I see it all the time in departments that I've been in, and I see it currently as a fire chief, they wait until it's that thumbtack goes through, as you say, and they're like, what can I do? And really, they're behind the game. They're not ready.
Mm-hmm. I had an officer once call me up and tell me that he was going for a promotion, and they had posted it up about 30 days in advance. And he called me because he wanted to ask me what books he should be reading to prepare for the promotional exam. And I didn't know what to say to that. You know, almost as though if you could read the books and cram for the next 30 days, that somehow you would be ready to be an officer. And but I did my best, Doug, to say to him, well, have you read this one? No. How about this one? No. How about this one? No. And as I'm going on, he's like, slow down, I got to write these down. And I had to chuckle to myself, because he was the epitome of somebody who had not thought about being an officer until it was posted. Or if he did think about it, all he did was think about it, and he never took any actions to prepare himself. And he didn't get the job. And he kicked himself for, you know, not studying hard enough for the promotional exam. And I had to talk to him afterwards and say, you know, do the things now so that the next time the position gets posted, you're ready. And he's like, well, that won't be for years. Okay, then spend years getting ready. You know, don't fall in the same hole again and wait for the posting and then try to cram to get ready. So, you know, having a game plan, so to speak, you know, a mission statement for yourself and some goals of okay, I want to get there. Well, how do I get from here to there? Because it isn't a 30-day journey. You know, it's months and years journey to prepare yourself to be a good officer. And you're so on target there, Doug, when you talk about being the educators. When you think about being the educator, you know, think of how well you got to be prepared. If for anyone out there who's ever taught a class, how well you have to be prepared to stand up in front of the group and articulate something well enough that people are able to learn from your teaching. You know, and that's not just firefighting skills. That's also being, you know, a good role model and teaching leadership and communication and problem solving and team building and all those soft skills that are so essential to the success of a company or a station within a department.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I've had those same people do the same things to me. One of my last responses was, don't waste your time. You're not ready.
Good one.
And, you know, And the guy was just flabbergasted. And I said, if you're just now starting to prepare, don't waste the person's time, you know, going through the assessment. Because if you're just now preparing, you're not ready to be an officer. And it shows just by that one little trait. And, you know, as a chief, I would not promote you just because of what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. All right, well, let's set this one aside, and some good advice. Thank you, Doug. Let's Pete, you got another questionnaire we can tee up and give Doug a swing at?
Sure. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back here in just a second.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Welcome back to the Leader's Toolbox on radio at firehouse.com. If you have any questions for host Rich Gassaway, anything on leadership and management issues, please do drop us an email to podcast@firehouse.com. Rich and Doug, the second question of the day comes from a new firefighter in the department. It says he recently transferred from one shift and station to the current assignment. His captain is a senior captain within the department is very unmotivated when it comes to doing anything but answering alarms. There are three newer firefighters in the company, and we feel we are dying on the vine in our current position. How do I get this officer to share the knowledge and experience along with training the newer guys in the station?
Boy, that's a tough one. If you look at how many times you get folks that have been a company officer for a while or become senior, you know, how did they get senior? One of the things that pops into my mind first here is that this guy would be probably the captain or the lieutenant or whoever would stand up and say, well, I've got, you know, 25 years of experience. Well, my thoughts are here just by listening to where he's unmotivated and he only likes the quote-unquote call response is that he probably has 10 years of experience with the 11th year repeated probably 15 times. And that's a sad case. He got to where he was at. He became unmotivated. It could be like in our first question there, he's become disillusioned because he didn't prepare himself to go on to the next level, and, you know, he hasn't gotten promoted. There's a lot of aspects that are going to twirl around this one individual. And the problem of it is, as a new firefighter coming in, a lot of times they have just tons and tons of energy. And as you get on in your career, sometimes you become what we call slugs, or what I call recliner cowboys. They like just kind of sitting around, hanging out, making, you know, the time. But there could be a deeper-rooted problem here, and unfortunately, that's something that's hard to tell about the situation without knowing some specifics. But why is this guy unmotivated? It could be he's actually having personal problems at home or in relationships, or he could have some type of medical issue. There could be a lot of things going on here to, you know, keep him from being motivated. But focusing in on if he's just unmotivated on the job, a lot of times somebody new coming in that's excited and turns to this person and makes them like their mentor will spark a newfound interest. And part of what these guys got to do is focus their energy on getting this person to give, not necessarily saying he's not motivated, he doesn't want to do. A lot of times these guys are just bouncing from, you know, pillar to post with, you know, no real direction. Is, you know, let's kind of reverse the polarity here and say, okay, you know, I need your direction. You're this guy that has been here, you know, 25 years. You've been there, done that. You're like the mecca guy of, you know, fire captains on the fire scene. You know, teach us, oh great one. And a lot of times that's what these folks are looking for. They may feel like they've been pushed aside, that, you know, maybe they're not going anyplace else in their career, but when they find this newfound energy, a lot of times young folks bring that out in people. And I have seen that. And, in fact, I lived a lot through a very similar situation. And the way that I approached it was I went to them and, you know, made them kind of like a mentor and started just asking questions. And, you know, I had to do a little research on the background and find out about some, you know, fairly significant fires they went to. And you start asking them about that and, you know a little bit about what they did, maybe on the scene that was, you know, fairly spectacular and stopping a fire or making some good calls. And once you get them started talking about it, many times these guys just open up, and that's what they wanted. You know, they want to be that father figure, but no one would let them. It's kind of like maybe they were pushed aside. So when you start pulling that out, that's a good start for folks and getting them involved. And a lot of times their energy level will then drastically pick up, and they will begin, you know, getting involved and showing them how to do things and really teaching. And the role that they should have is being in a business for a while, really teaching these younger guys. And if they try a lot of these things and it doesn't work, well, they're right. They're dying on the vine, and it may be a time that they have to turn to somebody else in that company if they can't get out, you know, for that leadership, for the teaching of them the things that they want. And then on the bottom line, they may have to get self-motivated and do a lot of things themselves. And that's sometimes difficult, too, in a sense, because when people have to do it on their own, they really have no direction. And younger, inexperienced folks with no direction is very, very difficult. And, you know, hopefully by approaching this in a couple of different ways that we spoke about here, they will get this officer involved. One of the last options is to ask for a transfer out of the station. And actually state the reasons why. Sometimes this needs to get a little higher up, that, you know, somebody's just riding the, you know, the recliner, or they're retired on active duty, or whatever the problem is. And it may be that there's a deeper seated problem that needs special attention, you know, to help this person along personally. That could be why they're very unmotivated. Tough situation to be in. When you're young, you're very vibrant about your career and you're excited, and it's almost like you got somebody that's sucking the life out of you. While you're sitting in a station, they don't want to do anything, and you're excited, and basically before long, I make the statement, and this is probably going to come across really wild, but if he's a dinosaur and they don't change or they don't get him motivated, he's going to make them dinosaur eggs. They're going to hatch and become dinosaurs as well. And they're going to be just like him in a period of time unless they stay motivated, stay focused, or get this individual focused, or they get out of the environment. Unfortunately, you know, those types of officers exist, and they're sometimes very difficult to motivate, even from a command level, much less from a new firefighter saying, hey, look, help me out here. You know, I'm starving. I'm a sponge. You know, fill me up. You know, give me all this knowledge you have that you're just sitting on.
I agree with you, Doug. There's the one thing that when I heard this question, the one thing that kind of jumped out at me, and it seems like every time there's a question, there's always something a flag that jumps out. And you said too, Doug, that sometimes with what the writers write in, we can't always know all the details to be able to give good advice. We have to fill in some of the blanks and make some assumptions. But the one thing that jumped out for me here is that this senior person with all this experience who is now unmotivated, I can't help but think that there's a reason. And my advice to this young firefighter or group of young firefighters would be something that I've often spoke of that comes from Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and that is seek first to understand and then to be understood. And if I were these young firefighters, I would really set out on a quest to try to find out what happened that made this person so unmotivated, so unwilling to do more than just the minimum. And you might even just try engaging him in some discussion to learn about where he's been and what he's done. But I would guess that somewhere along the way he feels like he's been wronged, that he didn't get the promotion that he should have had, or maybe he thinks he should have been the fire chief and and it's been, you know, there's been three fire chiefs since he ever applied. Or maybe he had, when he was a younger firefighter, he had a bad captain who was unmotivated and lazy, and now he's just paying it forward. And, you know, I can't really say what the motivation behind his unmotivation is, but I'm saying that I think there's something there. And these young firefighters would do well for themselves to try to understand what is making him behave this way. Because that's the first step in helping someone to get back on the track of being more motivated, is understanding why they behave that way in the first place. And I think these young firefighters also have to be cautious that I see this in young firefighters in my department and other places too, is you come in and you're full of hope and energy and excitement, and you want all the world's problems solved today, and you have the energy and the time to do it. You're single, and outside the fire department, maybe there isn't a whole lot of other things consuming your time. And then you come in, and here's this captain who's married and has five kids involved in activities and is active in other things outside the department, so his whole life isn't revolving around the department. So he's got a balance in his life that says, the department's one part of my life, but it isn't all of my life. So it's easy for these young firefighters to come in and say, this is new and this is exciting and this is really, really fun, to look at somebody like that senior person and say, what's wrong with him? Well, maybe there isn't anything wrong with him. He's just a little more balanced, and like you had described earlier, Doug, maybe just he's slowed down a little bit over the course of time. But I think these young firefighters, which Doug gave some great advice, could get this person to be more engaged by asking him questions about how to do things, and then genuinely listening to his advice and his answers. Another thing that I think is in play here is I sometimes think that senior firefighters feel threatened by newer firefighters, because the new firefighter has just been through all the new, latest and greatest and freshest training. Back when Doug and I were taking Firefighter 1, my Firefighter 1 book was like a half an inch thick. and now, it's like 3 inches thick to have Firefighter 1. And you get these young firefighters that come out and they've just freshly had Firefighter 1 and 2 and hazmat, and all this knowledge is right up front and it's real fresh and real new. And you get this captain who's probably long forgotten more than what you learned in Firefighter 1 and 2, and he might feel a little bit threatened about a young person coming in who might know more than he does, or some new and better way of doing it. So I would encourage these young firefighters to not let their newfound knowledge become a threat to the senior person, but still realize that this person knows a lot. They may not have had Firefighter 1 for 20 years, but maybe they've got 20 years of fire hands-on experience, which has taught that person more than what could ever be learned just out of the book. And see this captain for the value of what he brings, and subordinate yourselves to learning from this senior person. In other words, don't belittle him because he's been around too long, or you might think that he is unmotivated, or he's only interested in this. You engage him in some discussions and genuinely set yourself up to learn from him, and I think he'll start to take an interest in you, and you need to genuinely take an interest in him and what he can teach you. And I think what you might find is that threat gets diminished. It gets wore down to where he realizes, okay, they're not out to make me look foolish. They're out to learn from me. And that gives that captain maybe some newfound motivation. It says, I really can teach these kids something. Because a lot of times, a guy like that's been around a lot of years, and he's seen a lot of kids come and go who come into the department who think they know everything because they've had Firefighter 1 training. And maybe he's tried to reach out to some of them, and they've not taken his help, and now he says, you know what, I tried that. I tried teaching young people. They're not appreciative of what I'm willing to offer, so the heck with all of them. And, of course, you'd learn that if you spend some time to try to get to know him and understand the motivation as to why he isn't willing to extend himself to teach you, and then turn that into action. Find a way to get him engaged. It works through some of those problems. Don't be the kind of person that he's most angry about or afraid of. You got a heck of a resource there with that captain. Open up yourself and let yourself learn from him.
Yeah, the dynamics of the group is just imperative here. And that's part of what we see as problems in companies is that the true gelling dynamics never occur. People kind of get into a shell or they, make stereotypes. They don't truly, do like you said, seek to understand, to truly understand or know somebody and to interact with them. That's really big. And you hit on something too, Rich. Back when we went through, I don't know if yours was quite as long as mine, I had 2 weeks and I was certified as Firefighter 1. 2 weekends back in West Virginia where I started at. And, you got Firefighter 2 and it was like 2 more weekends. And then Firefighter 3 was 2 more weekends. And, I thought I knew everything under the sun coming out as a young firefighter and a rookie. And I jumped on it within that first year. And, I can look back and say, I knew everything. At least I thought I did. Now I wished I could understand how much I don't know about this business and how much you learn on a daily basis. It's just incredible. And it's fun, I sit down and, our academy running now, in our department, because we're combination, talking about the training is basically a whole year of going Wednesday, 4 hours, at least one Saturday a month or 2 Saturdays a month. And you're looking at right at about 640 hours. To get Firefighter 2. I went through and basically in about 48, 50 hours and was certified, some 28 years ago. It's just amazing how far we've come.
It is, and I think that these young firefighters could benefit from learning from that captain's experience, even though they've maybe gone through, a couple hundred hour of recruit training. That doesn't teach them the field knowledge, that the field smarts, the street smarts that they need to have. And I think that if they approach the captain as one of respect, of you've been around a long time and we haven't, and there's a lot we need to learn, and we really need for you to teach us this stuff. We can't afford to learn it by accident. Whether that's accidents where people get hurt or otherwise, we can't wait around for that to happen. And to reach out to him and ask him to be a teacher. And expect him maybe to resist a little bit at first, especially if he's coming off of having had some bad experiences. But there's something there. There's some, people who do this job don't become unmotivated without cause. There's some cause there, and I would encourage them to try to figure out what that is and then try to engage that captain into getting re-energized, recommitted, at least to helping them. And they could find out that it would turn into a pretty fun environment to be in.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. For the folks that may be listening that may be a little bit unmotivated or may find themselves in the role that we're addressing here, is there's a key word or a couple of key words that I think about is knowledge is power. Share it, because the power will continue on and these folks will become legacies.
Yeah, if you're one of those captains out there, don't feel threatened by somebody who's up and coming who might know more than you. Take what they know and build on it. If you're a captain with 25 or 30 years, you can learn from new firefighters. Heck, I've got almost 30 years, and I'm learning from my new firefighters all the time about stuff. They're going to school, they're taking this class, that class. They come back, man, they know stuff that I didn't even know that I didn't know until they share it with me. And I get excited about that because I know they're a good resource because they're taking these classes and they're getting smart. And two, it's kind of exciting for me to be able to learn something. I don't care if I'm learning it from a firefighter who's been only on the department for a year. I mean, it's still still exciting to learn something new, and I surely don't feel threatened by it. And I would challenge those senior people who might be listening out there, don't get threatened by it. Get encouraged by it. I mean, this is the future of the fire service. You know, Doug and I, we're on the downhill slide of our careers, and, you know, we've got a lot of years to go, but we got to embrace the next generation and do everything we can to try to help them be the best that they can be and help ourselves by learning from them.
Absolutely. It's a never-ending battle in a sense, and we've got to continue to get better because this business, if you think about it, Rich, and you look back over the, you know, almost 30 years of span, how much has changed?
I mean, we could
talk for weeks on just how much has changed in this business.
Absolutely, Doug. And maybe that's one of the future podcasts. We ought to bring some people onto the cast that have been in the fire service for 30, 40 years and talk about how it was then and how it is now and how it needs to be the way it is now because there is so much that has changed and so much for the good that has changed culturally and so much more that needs to change for sure. But, you know, the fire service is ever constantly changing and we have to stay ahead of it because we're going to get hurt or killed if we don't. It's that serious.
Absolutely. I agree.
Okay. Doug, I want to thank you for being my guest today. Pete, thanks for allowing me to have Doug as my guest. I've known Doug for a number of years, and actually, until he had just said it here, kind of had forgotten that Doug and I both had the start of our fire service careers in West Virginia, because I, too, was the same system of training that Doug described, 2 weeks of Firefighter 1, 2 weekends of Firefighter 2, and 2 weekends of Firefighter 3, and after 6 weeks, you know, we were out there, you know, changing the world because we thought we knew something. And when you were saying that, Doug, I was just chuckling to myself saying I had forgotten that we both had started at the same place and had the same new experience into the fire service. Doug, thanks for being my guest on the Leader's Toolbox, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pete.
It was an honor. I really appreciate being able to be with y'all and keep up the good work.
All right, Doug and Rich, thank you very much. Again, Leader's Toolbox on radio at firehouse.com. If you do have any questions for Rich, please do drop us an email to podcast@firehouse.com. And we'll see you back here in just a few weeks. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.